Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. It has been a long April 4th, or April 5th.
It's the 5th.
Long April 5th today. Happy to be here, though. Not a ton to talk about, but we did have the national championships, and we're a little bit behind because I feel like everyone's been talking about the women's game. No one really talked about the men's national championship that much at all.
Yeah, kind of an afterthought, which is interesting. Like, that would have been impossible when we were growing up.
It used to be such a big deal. Maybe it's just because we were kids, but, you know, you got one shining moment. The Final Four is a huge deal. And it's partly because, I guess we can just dive into it, but college basketball has changed so much, you know?
Right.
Like, there's no stars that stay in college, and that's not to bemoan any of the kids.
Yeah, I mean, good for, if you can make money, you absolutely should, but it's definitely a worse product.
And with the transfer portal, like, even if they stay, they're switching teams. Like, St. Peter's, the whole team was gone. It would have been cool to see them try to come back and make a run again.
Right, yeah. So absolutely.
It is disappointing. Let's start with the women's, just surface-level stuff there. Then we'll go to the men's, because I think that's going to be a more interesting blue blood discussion. And then we'll go from there. Honestly, not a whole lot to say in the whole Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark drama. But I feel like we should say something. I couldn't believe people were, like, upset. Like, at all.
Yeah, it was, the reaction was kind of over the top. I mean, it did feel like the celebration was like, I am mocking you, Caitlin Clark. But that happens all the time.
Well, yeah, she beat Caitlin Clark.
Good for her, that's fine.
No one got mad when Caitlin Clark did it, like, the game before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that was, it was interesting. I saw two videos of them doing it. The one of Caitlin Clark, I couldn't see her doing it to a person in the way Angel Reese was doing it to Caitlin, but I think I just kind of got a bad look at the video, or I didn't necessarily see all the angles. But again,
maybe she wasn't, but I don't feel like, yeah, even if she didn't do anything, it's not. And I think you agree with me.
It doesn't really matter, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, to go, back to the point talking about the men's game, how the stars aren't there. I think it's interesting with the women's game that this still is the primary pipeline to the WNBA, at least for American players. And obviously the women's game in other countries is not as well developed as the men's game. I don't think as much money has been invested in developing women's basketball in Europe and some of those other places. But yeah, I think we're kind of seeing that. We have Caitlin Clark, we have Angel Reese, we have Sabrina Ionescu, we have all these players that we know the names of with WIP. Like, I know more women's college basketball players than men's off the top of my head. Certainly if I go back the last, 5 years or so.
Outside of North Carolina's team, I don't know that I could, like, name one. Definitely before the tournament started, I don't know if I could name one.
Right.
Now that you phrase it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's just because the stars are in, like, I know Scoot and Victor Wembanyama and whatever, they're just not in college.
Yeah, I know Bronny James, like, I know some high school players.
Right.
But they, yeah, like, it's, they're just not, I don't know. It's just like literally, and I don't think anyone watches men's college basketball.
Not really.
I didn't see the ratings for the national championship, but the women's national championship had 9.9 million, which beat, like, the Sugar Bowl. I think every, like, New Year's Six Bowl, but the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
It beat. Plus, it was, like, Alabama, LSU, and stuff like that.
And it was on ESPN Plus.
It was? It wasn't even on ESPN?
I mean, I can double check, but I remember, I definitely saw that it was the most watched thing on ESPN Plus in possibly ever, or maybe in the last couple of years or whatever, but
no, I believe you. Makes sense.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool and interesting development. I don't know if this is the way that, you know, we need women's basketball to catch up to men's basketball, is just the men's college game being awful. So I don't know. It would be nice if some of the universities could actually pay the men's players, you know, maybe see if we can convince Wembanyama and Scoot and some of these other guys to actually come to college.
Yeah.
Because it still could be interesting, but
I think it'd be more interesting even if they're only there for a year. And the NBA, with the new collective bargaining agreement, they kept the rule, so nothing changes from is changing from a college basketball perspective.
Right.
So they're either there or they're not. I'm still trying to think of college basketball players' names. I think I could have, like, if I thought about it, gotten Keontae Johnson from Kansas State, but just because he collapsed when he was playing for Florida.
Right.
Not because of basketball.
Yes.
I think that's it, honestly.
Yeah. Which, you know, ten years ago, like, when we were in high school, we knew Tyler Hansborough and, you know, Gordon Hayward and Matt Howard and John Shire and all these players.
Yeah. No, literally, like, I went to a Utah basketball game, like, at the start of the season, and I didn't know who one person was. Now, I don't follow Utah basketball religiously, but, like, I also went to a game last season, and I didn't know who one person was, and it was all new people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I had a chance to learn. So, it's kind of a bummer, but it is what it is. And Bomani Jones from ESPN was talking about, and I guess HBO as well, but, like, the men's game, the national championship sucks because it's not like a football stadium. There's no depth perception. The scoring is always horrible. Like, right. That Butler-UConn game was literally any sporting event the worst game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was 2010
or something like that. It was so anticlimactic because Butler made it back-to-back national championships the year before Gordon Hayward almost hit that buzzer beater to beat Duke, which they make it all the way back, and then they just score, like, I think 41 points. Like, uh-huh. It was so stupid. Yeah. And every national championship game is like that. And the TV isn't good because it's in a weird... It's like watching Syracuse basketball because they play in the Carrier Dome, which is where the football team plays.
Mm-hmm.
But all the time. And the women's game is in an actual basketball arena. And the fans want... This is Bomani's points. But the fans want to be there, whereas with the men's game, it's like an event to go to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a party. And it's cool, but it's not like basketball at the same time.
Right, yeah. In the way, because, like, the Super Bowl is not like that in the sense that it's definitely an event. They do the halftime way too long from a football perspective. But it's still, like, a football game,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. No, for sure. And it's in a football arena. And I honestly hate how the Super Bowl is so long, but I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, the Gordon Hayward missing the shot reminded me. At some point, we'll have to do a, like, most disappointing or, like, biggest what could have been moments in sports. I think that Gordon Hayward shot would beat out the Russell Wilson interception in the Super Bowl. I thought about it. I'd have
for to most disappointing?
Yeah, most disappointing or, like, biggest what if. Because, like, if Gordon Hayward makes that shot, that is in every highlight reel from now until the end of time.
Every one shining moment thing.
Yeah.
I get that for sure. And I think everyone except Duke fans were cheering for Butler, too.
Literally everybody in the country, yeah.
I just went out with a girl who's a Duke fan.
Oh, hey.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
How did that come to pass?
So she's from Arizona.
Okay, we're off to a good start.
Yeah. She said that she likes to stir the pot. I don't know. She also said she likes the Celtics for the same reason.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So
she's a Duke fan. But I said I, like, wrote for the University of North Carolina, and she was, like, not, like, mad, but, like, joking, like, offended. But you could tell she was, like, legitimately a little offended.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good, because if you're gonna be a sports fan, there's got to be a little bit of anger in there, I think.
Now, let me ask you this, because I think the main topic with the men's game, UConn got to their fifth national championship. Is UConn a blue blood? I would say, well, I'll hear your answer.
I mean, I guess I don't really know what a blue blood means, and I don't really know how many of them there are, you know? So that's what's hard. I guess we should put in who definitely is. For me, who absolutely is for sure is North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, and UCLA is kind of on thin ice, but they've done well enough in tournaments in recent years where they're okay. So those ones are in for sure. The argument against UConn is their first national championship was in 99, I believe. You can maybe check that for me.
I'll check it right now.
Which is like, you know, saying in the 90s seems like it's okay, but if it was in 2000, that would be, like, it just feels so recent. And so, like, for us, it feels like UConn's been good forever. And certainly in the last 20 years, they've had more success than basically anybody. I just feel like a blue blood is kind of built on tradition, and I don't know how much tradition you can build in 23 years, you know?
Yeah, but if you look at overall program success, I think most people are saying for blue bloods, it's those five: Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, UCLA, and Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Most people are trying to kick Indiana out and move UConn in as the sixth team.
Right.
But why do national championships matter less with Bob Knight than they do with Bob Hurley or whoever Hurley's coaching in? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it's just, to me, blue blood, part of the definition is like oldness. They have, you know, not only lots of national championships, but they stretch back a long way, you know?
Yeah. I think the argument, well, it sounds like you don't want Indiana.
I would probably rather have Indiana than UConn. And UConn is certainly, I think, a better basketball program than Indiana. But for me, I don't know if that's what blue blood is.
I don't think anyone would argue that Notre Dame football is not a, no one uses this term in football, but a football blue blood.
Right.
Their last national championship was in 1988.
Right.
I don't think we should demote Indiana because they haven't won recently. If we want to add UConn, and I would even lean in your logic of they haven't done it for long enough, that's fine. And even if it is just a historical club that you can't get into, and that's what we're making it, that also fine. I'd be fine letting UConn in just terms of overall resume, no matter when it was. But I think Indiana has as much or more of a right to be there just because no one looks at... Oklahoma hasn't won a national championship in football for a long time, but everyone would count them as one of those programs as well.
Right.
When was Oklahoma's last championship? If we look at it in that term, and I know football and basketball are different sports, but Indiana should still be in there. They have five national titles, one of the best programs of all time. And when you think of college basketball, you do, well, kids today don't, but old people think of Indiana.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, if I thought about it a long time, I'd probably still put Indiana in. But, like, the thing with Notre Dame and Oklahoma and the reason with football why I don't think anybody would complain is if you say you're going to play for Oklahoma, then people think, oh, this is one of the best football players in the country. And you know that automatically. If you say you're going to go play basketball for Indiana, I mean, that's probably better than Kansas State, who I realize made it to the Final Four this year. But, like, I'm not excited about someone... If I met two people and one's going to play basketball at Indiana and one's going to Louisville, I'm going to assume the person going to Louisville is a better basketball player. I might think that the person going to VCU is a better basketball player. Like, VCU might be more prestigious right now than Indiana.
Here's the thing. 5 years ago when Rich Rod was at Michigan and Brady Hoke was at Michigan... You say you're going to Michigan, that didn't get the same effect as, oh, I'm going to play football at Alabama or USC.
Uh-huh.
Michigan has the most wins in college football history. You're the one who convinced me to put Michigan in the blue bloods.
Well, yeah, but football. How long of a skid was that for Michigan?
It was a while. Like, I think. Like, they had the year in 2006, was it? When they were number two in the country, or 2005.
Uh-huh.
And then lost to Ohio State, which ended up losing the national championship. Other than that, until these last couple of years, they hadn't really done anything.
But when was, like, I mean, 2006 is, like, is not super recent, but in our lifetime, when was the last time that you were really interested or thought that Indiana had an exciting basketball team?
Well, they have exciting, like, warm-ups with, like, the candy cane stripe thing.
Sure, that's fine.
Let's look up. Indiana, great podcast material. Basketball.
Like, I'm sure that Yale does cool stuff on game day for football. But like, and I think Yale is an interesting case because they won the first national championship. They have a ton of national championships. Nobody would consider Yale a blue blood for football.
So the last time Indiana was ranked number one in the country was during the 2012-2013 season, so 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
And that doesn't translate to postseason success, but.
Right.
They've also, I just learned this, never won an outright Big Ten championship.
That seems like a problem.
That might be the women's team, though.
Oh, okay.
ESPN's throwing me off here.
Yeah, I think.
I'll figure that out. You know, it's surprising. I was actually looking up arguments for Indiana, and I looked up All-Americans all-time. Purdue is actually, like, number two or number three. Purdue basketball.
Interesting.
And they get underrated because they got... They're in the same state with Notre Dame in Indiana, and Notre Dame's obviously a much better football program. Historically, Indiana's a much better basketball program. But Purdue's a very good athletic program.
Should we talk about how great Purdue is with their basketball team?
You're still pissed at them,
aren't you? I'm still mad at Purdue. Which I guess I should be less mad now that everybody, that nobody really had anybody in the Final Four.
It's kind of crazy that Purdue's successful as they are, though, because they have the same problems with Georgia Tech in the sense that it's like an engineering, tough academic school, but they are in Indiana instead of Atlanta.
Right.
And they're still able to be, football is a good program, not Ohio State by any means. Mm-hmm. Basketball has been a very good program for a very long time.
Well, yeah, if we looked at...
I'd say a good program.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know as much about NBA players, but you could do this better than me, but I feel like Purdue like has a sneaky, large amount of NFL players, and like good NFL players. Like Drew Brees was Purdue.
Right, like recently they produced Rondale Moore, David Bell, Ryan Kerrigan, the edge rusher from the... I guess now Commanders.
Uh-huh.
He went to Purdue. So, yeah, they've produced some good players for sure. Raheem Mostert, Cliff Averill, I am just reading this. Coolest fullback of all time, Mike Allstott went to Purdue.
Nice.
Bob Greasy. I'm trying to think of people. Rod Woodson went to Purdue.
Yeah. See, like, Kyle Orton. That's a better NFL cohort than most schools.
So this podcast became a Purdue athletic department podcast somehow.
Yeah.
Started talking about college basketball, ended up with Purdue. I do think, and now their coach, not to get into Purdue football, but their coach just left to go to Louisville, so it'll be interesting to see what they can do, and with the Big Ten adding USC and UCLA, what happens there. But Purdue's a good school, and like for what they should be doing athletically-wise, I think is much lower than what they do.
Yeah, definitely punching above their weight.
Yeah, good for them. Good for Purdue. Good for the Boilermakers. Should we get to the top five?
Let's do the top five.
Now, it's kind of related to what we're talking about, but not really also. It's the top five college sports that are not football or basketball. Now, this is off the top of my head. Because mm-hmm. we just thought of it. Again, long day at work here. But here's what we got. So I kind of want to start number one, just because that'll be easier for me. Unless you want to go first.
No, go ahead. Can you clarify what top sport means?
Most exciting, our favorite.
Okay.
So, no criteria.
Like what we would rather.
Most what I would watch.
Okay.
Not college football, not... We'll say not men's basketball. We'll put women's basketball as an option.
Okay.
Not football, not men's basketball. Let me just count out here. Okay. So I'll say number five, I'll put women's basketball.
Okay.
Number four, I will put women's softball. Three, I'll put rugby.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
Are we counting that?
Yeah, we can count rugby as a college sport.
Two, we'll put women's soccer. Especially the playoffs, I think, are exciting.
Uh-huh.
And one, gotta put college baseball. I think that's one of the best sports in the country.
Yeah.
It's college baseball, number one.
College baseball's fun.
Yeah. What about you?
Okay. Interesting. So are we... I mean, I guess I'm not really splitting mine up into two, because I think that, you know, all the sports that I've picked are going to be both men's and women's.
So you're saying in general?
Yeah, just in general.
So you're not doing like men's cross country, women's cross country, men's track, women's track?
No, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to make mine, you know, really I probably would have track one, cross country two. I'll just make the list more applicable to the general audience, and I'll only have one of those.
Right.
So I think that I'm going to put baseball at number five. It's just you're a much bigger baseball fan than I am.
That's fair. I think I'm the only person I've met who follows, like, college baseball.
Yeah. And I do think, and we I don't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or in person, but college baseball does, it not only, more important that it moves a little bit quicker, there's less home runs, so there's actually more field action. There's more runs. The pitchers aren't as good, so we're getting more hits. So in that, for me, it's a more interesting game to watch. Even though I would rather watch the MLB playoffs or the MLB World Series.
More stuff can go wrong in college baseball.
Yeah.
Whereas major league pitchers, that's the best in the world. They're dialed in the whole game.
Right.
College pitcher could throw it who knows where.
Absolutely. You know?
Shortstop could airmail a throw to home.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got baseball at five. I've got gymnastics four.
Okay.
I think... you know, college gymnastics is a place where a lot of the best gymnasts in the world are at college, particularly on the women's side. So there's a really high level of performance there. Number three, I've got soccer. I do think I'd probably say women's soccer preferably. Just kind of what we talked about with women's basketball. It's more of a pipeline to the U.S. women's national team than the men's side. They do academies and other things, so men's soccer is not as big of a deal.
That's why I put women's soccer, because it's the best players in at least the country.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, overseas players will come and play as well.
Right.
Whereas the college soccer is like the seventh best thing you can be doing if you're a men's soccer player.
Right.
So I agree.
Okay. Number two, and this is a product of going to BYU, but volleyball, both men's and women's.
That is a good one. Volleyball in person is awesome.
Yeah, volleyball is a lot of fun. BYU, you know, consistently gets, you know, top one or two or three attendance in the country for both the men's and the women's. I could not tell the difference between men's and women's attendance for volleyball at BYU.
It was pretty even.
Very comparable.
Pretty packed.
And they got excited. I think volleyball, underrated sport just in general. Underrated to play, underrated to watch, underrated to go to. Just a great game overall.
Okay.
Yeah. And then number one, I am going to put track. What I will say for track is I think that college track has a really important place in the history of track and field. More so than a lot of the rest of track and running in the United States in general. You know, Bill Bowerman, the creation of Nike and the waffle shoe. You have Steve Prefontaine. I know a lot of this is at Oregon. A ton of this is at Oregon.
Yeah. This turned from a Purdue pod to an Oregon pod.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, the way that influenced running in the country and, you know, the running booms in the United States, a lot of them have spread from the University of Oregon into the rest of the United States. And so I think college track has influenced the culture in the United States in a way that really only, I think, men's football has.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got track number one.
Dope. Preach. Well, that's our top five. Would have been a good one to be, like, athletic departments excluding football and basketball as well? So looking at, like, schools?
So Stanford and then
some other ones. I think about it, just be Stanford and UCLA. And then everyone, Oklahoma State would be up there.
Yeah, we could talk
about it. Surprisingly.
They've got a great cross-country program, more so than track.
Wrestling's really good. Golf is really good.
Yeah.
It's weird that they do so well.
Yeah.
Second best school in Oklahoma.
Yeah, put that on your list of top fives.
I will. I also need to stop writing it. I'm recording on my phone, so I need to stop doing it off of my phone so I can remember it. We appreciate everybody listening. Glad we could get this in. So I'll be uploading all this stuff while I'm at work tomorrow. Another busy day. We're going to go to bed.
Yes,
we are. I will say, next episode, we couldn't get ESPN fan, whatever number, couldn't get a hold of him or her. So we're going to have second place winner, which is me, but tied for second place, Jed Diedrich, come on the show.
Shout out to Jed.
So that might be next one. Also, working on, should I say what I'm working on or should we hold off?
Let's keep them in anticipation.
It's NFL related. I think it's going to be interesting. You'll have to let me know what you think. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.